thank the Lord for the presence this morning. I tell you, the strength He's given us is awesome. But it shows the scheme of the devil and why we're at where we're at today, why things are getting so intense. But Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, God has it documented. He says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north." From the very beginning, Satan, when his heart turned, he wanted to take over God's position. And that's what he wanted. Well, it didn't go very well, did it? So God cast him out down to this earth. I won't go into detail, but when he hit the earth, they do believe that's what happened to the earth. It became ugly, void, because that cosmic crash destroyed everything upon the earth. Your dinosaurs, they believe that time was when they existed and they were killed. That's just a theory. Okay? Just a theory. But then you can imagine, here's God. However God does things, he's looking around, and you see this earth all ugly and void. So when you step into Genesis, you see what God ended up doing. He makes this garden. He calls it Garden of Eden. And folks, the description of that garden is beautiful. Oh man, I can imagine the grapes and all this stuff. I bet there's trout that big in the streams. Everything beautiful. And he puts that in this fallen earth, this beautiful garden. Now, who's in charge of the earth right now? At that time? Satan, okay? He was cast down, okay? But when God made this garden, then he came along and he made men. Made man and woman. Put them in the garden. And gave him dominion over the earth. Oh! You see what he just did? He just stripped Satan from his earthly realm. And Jesus, and Satan says, "Well, okay, here, Adam, here's the deed. You have it now." Did he do that? No. Satan wasn't very happy giving up territory. But here we got the garden. We got Adam and Eve. Then God gave them a commandment. He said, "Now, go and multiply." And Satan's over here. This is me describing what Satan might have been thinking, okay? But he says, okay, they're going to multiply. They get control of this earth. They're going to run me out of town. Because think about this. If Adam and Eve would not have sinned, and they would have started multiplying and multiplying, then you know what would happen? That garden would be extended more and more and more and more. And more, and pretty soon the whole earth be like the Garden of Eden. Amen? Amen. They got dominion over it. So Satan had to find a way to trick him. And he did. He came in the garden, twisted the words of God. Their ears wasn't staying on the word of God. If they was, they'd never let it be twisted. Amen? Today, the word of God in your ears. In your spirit, if you're listening to it daily, you'll never be deceived. Never will. But if we don't have them in our ears, if we're not listening, filling our spirit for the Word of God, we can be easily deceived. Amen? Okay? So Satan has never ever changed his tactics. Okay? So now look at the United States of America. Form. Godly government. Amen. Going really well. But as time was going on, through our knowledge of it, corruption has seeped into God's government. And it kept growing and growing and growing. We had no idea, did we? Is that bad? I mean, we all would say at one time, you know if a politician's lying? He's moving his lips. Okay, we all said that before. As a joke, but we never recognized how bad things was. And this recently has been exposed. how bad it is. And look at the laws and stuff. If we can murder the babies, we can change their sex in first grade, and we get men marry men and women marry women, God's people is going to quit reproducing. Yes. So here we are today, 2021. Satan's territory has been increasing and increasing and increasing to look what we have today. But there's a remnant of people who love God. There's a remnant of people who worship Jesus Christ. There's a remnant of people who ain't given up yet. And I'm telling you what, in the eyes of the devil, you're the worst enemy that he has. He wants to destroy you. He wants to take you out. He wants to lie to you. He wants to, well, like you said earlier, sometimes he wants you to only think about yourself. Me, 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 me. Because he don't want to lose territory. So look how things are increasing. Okay? But what has your God said? I will restore. Amen? I will restore. That's the promise we have from God. His promise. With that promise, man, we can be strengthened. We can be. If I can say it, flat-footed. We can stand on His word and declare the things of the Lord. This enemy be defeated, be put back in the cage for a while. The revival that we're praying for, the souls that we're praying for, to come forth. The devil hasn't changed a bit. He uses the same tactics. And out there, some of the people that he's using right now is going to turn around and be used by the Lord. Amen? He's going to have a lot of people abandoning ship there in a little while. Their eyes are going to be open. If we as a church continue to pray, if we continue to intercede for the light of Christ to be shone, if you and I continue to live for Jesus. Amen? Shine His light. Woo! Sometimes it's getting hard to shine that light. But we do it. Amen? Like the word came out today, thankfulness. Thankfulness. Put your thankfulness to the right place. Amen? Amen? To the right place. Your prayers of intercession makes a difference. It changes things. I want to share one article this morning with you, and we'll close with this. But to me, when I read this to you, it's going to show you what intercessory prayer did for a man about 80 years ago, maybe 90 years ago. And some of you today, you've been praying. We're having people pray for you, or you've been praying for other people, and you're getting wore down, okay? But I'm telling you what, it makes a difference, because I tell you what, God can answer a prayer that comes forth, right? When we see you on Facebook, well, my thoughts are with you, well, thank you, but your thoughts don't do me no good, okay? It's your prayers that I need. I know people mean the right thing, they're thinking the right thing, but thoughts, you know. Hey, Gail, I thought about praying for you today. Well, thanks, Pastor. Well, I never did. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I thought about praying for you today, and Gail, I prayed for you. There's my thoughts and my prayers. Amen? Amen? I want to share this with you. I shared it the other night. Anybody familiar with a guy named Kenneth E. Hagin? I got one person who knows Kenneth E. Hagin? Two, three, four, five. Okay, awesome. This is his testimony. It's about 4 or 5 minutes long. So I know some of you, if you got to go, you got to go to work, guys. Go ahead. I understand. But I want to share this. I guess I want to share it off of here first. Might be 5 minutes now. Well, I got part on here and part over there. August 20th, 1917, Kenneth E. Hagin was born. He was born to Lily Drake Hagin and Jesse Hagin in a small town in McKinney, Texas. The doctor held no hope for young Kenneth. He weighed barely 2 pounds, and later tests were sure that he had a deformed heart. The doctor, J.C. Aaron, thought the baby was dead and told Granny Drake to dig a hole in the garden and bury the infant. Granny took him outside and stopped by the smokehouse to get a shovel. Holding a shovel in one hand and the infant in the other, she noticed a spark of life. Kenneth was alive. Granny quickly took him back into the house and asked the doctor what to do with him. The doctor, still seeing no hope for the baby, pulled out a packet of formula mix, told her to prepare and feed it to him, and said, "Well, that will last longer than what the baby will." Recalling this incident later on, Brother Hagin made a comment, "I outlasted the formula." The rest of it picks up on here. It was Saturday night, 22nd day of April, 1933. My heart stopped. This is Kenneth E. Hagin's testimony. I was lying in bed, 16 years old. I had been sick all my life with a deformed heart and incurable blood disease. At 7:30 p.m. that night, the blood stopped circulating in my body, way down at the end of my toes. They seemed to go numb. This numbness spread to my feet, my ankles, my knees, my hips, my stomach, and my heart. My spirit leaped out of my body the way someone would leap off a diving board into a swimming pool. I began to descend feet first, down, down, down. It was like going down into a well or a deep cavern. I looked up and saw the lights of the earth flickering in the distance above me. They finally faded away and darkness encompassed me. It was a darkness so dark you couldn't see your hand if it were in front of you or within 1 inch of your nose. The blackness was so dense it seemed that you could cut it with a knife. The farther down I went, the darker and hotter it became. I reached the bottom of this cavern of darkness in only a few seconds, although it seemed like an eternity. I saw fingers of flickering light playing on the walls of blackness. At the bottom of the pit was the entrance to hell. Then I saw what was causing the flickering light. Beyond the gates were great giant flames created in white. As I approached the gate, some kind of creature met me. My eyes were looking straight ahead, riveted on hell. I never looked directly at this creature, but I knew he was there. I tried to slow down my descent, but the creature took me by my arm to escort me in. At that moment, from way above the darkness, a male voice spoke. I don't know what he said because it was a foreign language to me. This voice uttered only a few words, and hell shook from top to bottom. When the voice spoke, the creature let go of my arm. I began floating upward toward the earth and away from hell. It was as if a great suction or magnet drew me upward from my back. Before I reached the top of the pit, I could see the lights on earth once again. When I came out of the dark cavern, I was on the porch just outside the south bedroom. I saw Grandpa's porch swing and the giant cedar trees in the yard. Then I went right through the wall and seemed to leap into my body the way you would slip your foot into a boot. This happened 3 times that night. The 3rd time as I began descending into the darkness, I cried out, "God, I belong to the church. I've been baptized in water." I was trying to tell him that I was going in the wrong direction, but there was no answer, only the echo of my voice through the darkness. The 2nd time I cried a little louder, "God, I belong to the church. I've been baptized in water." Again, no answer. The 3rd time I screamed, "God, I belong to the church. I've been baptized in water." Although being baptized in water and belonging to the church are both good, it takes more than that to miss hell and go to heaven. The Bible says you must be born again, John 3:3. You must know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. When I came to the bottom of that pit, the creature again met me and took me by my arm. I intended to put up a fight to keep from going in, but I only managed to slow my descent just a little bit. Thank God that voice spoke again and hell shook. It just trembled. That creature took his hand off of my arm. I floated back up to the earth. Only this time I ascended through the darkness. I prayed, "Oh God, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all my sins." When I leaped back into my body, my natural voice picked up my prayer right in the middle of the sentence. It was 7:40 p.m. All this happened in 10 minutes. When my heart stopped beating the first time, Mama ran outside to the porch and began praying and calling on God at the top of her voice. When I came back into my body the third time, Mama and I were praying so loud that the traffic backed up two blocks around the house. You get serious with God when something like that happens to you, and you get loud. Seeing hell will scare you into wanting to get right with God. It scared me, and I made Jesus my Lord and my Savior that night. When I did, I was transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son, Jesus Christ. I became a child of God. A year later, laying in bed, still crippled in bed, Mark 11:22 came to pastor's mind, says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whatever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, he shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That scripture there came to life to Kenneth E. Hagin in his bed, as he'd been bedfast all his life. And God raised him up. His faith in that word, acts, believe, raised him off that bed at age 17, and he would preach to the year 2001. And I share this just to encourage two things, purposes. Number one, and I talked to a lot of people who said, you know, I asked, hey, you know, you're Christian, you're going to church? Oh, man, I've been baptized. Oh, yeah, I don't care. I mean, I had a shower last night. The question is, being baptized is awesome, but repentance of our sins, receiving Jesus Christ, surrendering our life to Him and following Him, that's where it gets the rubber meets the road. Then we get baptized to share the word. And the Bible says we get baptized and receive that gift of the Holy Spirit that strengthens us. It gives us understanding of the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit inside of you, you fall in love with Christ and you can't get enough of the word. You can't get enough of the people. You want to be around Him and stuff. So ask today, check your own hearts today. I don't care how long you've been in church. Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Have you received Him? Have you invited Him? Have you yielded Himself? Have you been born of the Spirit? Amen. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. Because you're born of the Spirit, and then the likeness of the Spirit starts growing in you. The fruit of the Spirit. And my son, as he grows, he looks more like me. Okay?
Sorry.
And then, but see, he didn't look just like me when he was born. He was really ugly and red and green and wrinkled up and stuff, you know. But as he grew, he became looking like me. Okay, and he has his own attributes, I understand. With you, when the Spirit of God comes into you, you start feeding the Word of God, it starts growing. You know, the minute you get born again, you don't look like Jesus, okay? In the spirit realm, you got His Spirit, but He starts forming you, and you're growing. The other thing I share with you in that, sir, is the importance of intercessory prayer. There was a mama there that believed in praying. Now, I don't know if she knew that her son was headed to hell. I don't know. I mean, the son was in church, praying for her son to come back. She was praying for one thing, maybe, to make his heart beat again. And she got more than just life again. She got new life in her son. Hell is a real place to go. It is real, and I had intention to read you some of the descriptions of hell today, but I won't do that. You can find it in Revelations all through the Bible. Maybe I'll touch on it next week. But hell was created for the devil. Understand that. God didn't create hell for you and me. It was for the fallen angels. And they hate that so much that they come after you and me. They'll never stop coming after us. Don't think it's odd that Satan keeps tempting you all the time. Don't think it's odd that all this stuff happens, okay? Number one, this world ain't your home. You know, the kingdom of God lives inside of us, and someday we'll be in the actual kingdom of God in the physical. But while we are here, may we honor the Lord in our life daily. Maybe allow that word of God transform us daily. Maybe recognize what happens when just a little bit of sin is entertained. As our country fell down one piece at a time because of entertaining sin, the same thing in our life, a little bit of sin in our life comes in for a reason. Still kill and destroy. But our purpose today, as we come to Christ, is to rescue others. Jesus is to be the love of our life. Amen? I am to love Jesus Christ more than my wife and my children and my daughter. And my wife understands, and she is to love Jesus the same way. And she loved Jesus more because of who I am. Because he rescued me from the pits of hell. But it's her love for Jesus that allowed it to take place. Because she's prayed for me, interceded for me. I don't care if you're 20 years old here today or 110 years old today. The calling is still the same. Intercede, pray, lift up the name of Jesus. Be involved as much as we can. Don't give up. Don't sit down. For those that have loved ones that went on before us, praise God for it, but get back in the battle and fight for other people to be rescued from that war that's going on. We sit down and say nothing. Don't share. People all around us will be dropping into hell. And we don't want that, do we? We want to do our part by sharing what we can. But don't sell yourself short when it comes to intercessory prayer. That is a testimony of what took place there. Amen? Amen. Any questions? Well, I tell you, President God was awesome today. I'm telling you what. It's just, as you guys poured your heart out to him, you know. It reminded me, he says we worship him in spirit and in truth. And spirit means that's the most center part of you. That's the most personal part of your life. Amen. Today you worship him today through that spirit and the truth. And he is the truth. Amen. 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 Praise God.